We also have the preparation of our feet shod with the gospel of peace. That is another anchor for our soul, is to have the ability to be able to have footwear that gives us peace during the time of storm and during conflict. Back to Ephesians chapter 6 again, verse 15. This is one of the seven pieces of spiritual armor with which God supplies His children to be able to withstand the wicked wiles of the devil. And it's interesting, today we're talking about our feet, and so much is said in this passage of Scripture about being able to stand. There's definitely a connection about our feet and standing and withstanding in the evil day and having done all to stand. We talked about last week the girdle or the belt of truth with which we are tightly wrapped and secured during battle and conflict. And we are to use the Word of God, the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Word of God is truth. And we're to use that in our defense against Satan, even as Jesus did in the wilderness. Thus saith the Lord, He quoted Scripture. We're to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, because without the gospel, we would not be able to understand the truth. We would not be able to discern the truth. And so with the Holy Spirit in us through salvation, we have the gospel as our bedrock. It is our solid foundation. And so we stand on the gospel. We also talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We are clothed with the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, first of all. And it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that defends us against the attack of our adversary, who is a liar and who is an accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us of many things. But one thing he can never accuse us of is the fact that we do not belong to Jesus. We are his. We are safe and secure in his hand. We also, with his grace, have the ability to do deeds of righteousness, works of righteousness, with which we shine unto the world the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in the Beatitudes, he said, or in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, your righteousness, the righteous deeds that you do, the righteous acts that you perform." Not that it's our righteousness, but the righteousness of God working through us. As Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth through me, liveth in me." And so today we want to talk about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Three things, and very simple things. And as I said earlier, we have studied the spiritual armor several times before. And this is kind of a review for those who've been around a couple of decades. But it's good review. It's good to be reminded of what we have in Jesus Christ and how safe we are in Jesus Christ, and how we can endure and how we can hold on and how we can finish well this battle that has been set before us. Jesus is coming, folks. Jesus is coming. The night is almost over. We can see him at the threshold, and we're looking forward to his return. But until then, we need to fight on. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. As Paul told Timothy, be strong as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to talk about three simple things. We want to talk, first of all, about the importance of the soldier's shoes. That hardly needs to be said or spoken about. You're certainly aware. You can imagine or envision in your mind a soldier on a battlefield. One of the most important pieces of equipment that he has would be his footwear, what he has on his feet. I still remember, who can forget? Those of you who have been in the military, how can you forget basic training, right? I still remember that very first day at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, being marched over to base supply, being given our uniforms, and part of that uniform, they gave us a pair of combat boots and a pair of dress shoes. and our civilian wear was taken away. Had to say goodbye to the good old tennis shoes. Practically every military guy that goes in the military arrives in basic training in tennis shoes. We didn't see those tennis shoes again for 6 weeks till we were finished basic, and they gave our stuff back to us. But I still remember being issued those combat boots. And I didn't understand then. It wasn't even until recently I was thinking about why they did certain things the way they did them in basic training. I remember the first couple of days there, we didn't do any marching. We didn't do any running. We did a lot of walking, and we did a lot of standing in formation for hours, just standing in line. And walking. Everywhere we went, we walked. We didn't ride buses. We didn't take the trams. We walked. Sometimes it was 8 or 10 blocks across base to where we needed to go. We walked. And I remember practically every airman in our unit the first few days wearing those combat boots all day long, walking miles in them. We all had blisters. Our feet were covered with painful, aching, bleeding blisters. So about the second or third day, we were marched back to base supply. And there where we received our combat boots and our dress shoes, there was professional bootmakers waiting for us. And we would go in and we were ordered to take our boots off and take our socks off and sit down in front of a bootmaker. And he would look at our feet and he would make adjustments to our boots. They were good enough to know by the looking at where the blisters were, where they needed to adjust the boots. Some of the guys in our unit had to go back to the bootmaker 3 or 4 times during basic training for readjustments. And so, what am I saying all this for? Is because you know that the footwear is extremely important. And within a week or so, we were all marching, running, exercising in combat boots, and the blisters were all healed up. Today, in our world today, we have shoes, all kinds of shoes, shoes for every conceivable activity, do we not? We have dress shoes, we have work shoes, we have leisure shoes, we have bedroom slippers, we have tennis shoes or athletic shoes, and in many athletics, they have special shoes for every kind of sport. Football, baseball, and tennis players, they wear a different kind of shoe depending on what kind of surface they're playing on. A tennis player doesn't always wear the same pair of tennis shoes. If they're playing on a rubber mat, it's a different shoe than on concrete and so forth. A soldier's shoes are important because his very life depends upon his footwear. His very life. Let me explain. As he marches over rough and hot roads and climbs over jagged rocks and tramples on thorns and wades through stream beds of loose gravel, his feet need a lot of protection. A soldier whose feet are blistered or cut or bruised, he cannot fight well. Your feet are like your back. When your feet hurt, everything hurts, right? You know that. You know that. And if a soldier's feet are hurting really bad, he might not even be able to stand. And we can see from our context here today how important it is to be able to stand. And you can envision a soldier who cannot even stand up in battle. He's a dead soldier. He's not going to last long. So our feet need to be properly prepared. Because if the soldier cannot stand firm, he'll never be able to handle his sword or his shield. He won't be able to advance. He may not even be able to retreat. A Roman soldier's shoes or boots were usually equipped with bits of metal or nails in the soles so that they could get good traction when climbing up a slippery slope or stand on soft ground and be able to fight. So what about, and how does that relate? How does that compare to a Christian soldier's footwear? That's what we're really talking about today. Our feet, the spiritual armor that God has given us, the footwear, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Spiritual footwear is equally important in warfare against the schemes of the devil, because as the soldier has carefully girded his loins with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness, if he does not properly shod, that means simply to bind or cover his feet with the preparation of the gospel, the good news of peace, he's destined to suffer many defeats. What am I saying? Very simply this. As Christian soldiers, you and I need to know the Word of God. We need to be able to handle the Word of God. We need to be able to stand on the promises of Jesus Christ, or we're going to fall. We need to be able to stand against the lies and the schemes of the devil. We need to know, thus saith the Lord. What does God's Word say? If you are in the midst of a spiritual conflict, if Satan is bombarding you with temptation and trials, and doubts and fears, and you don't know the Word of God, there's not going to be any peace in your heart. Amen? There's going to be turmoil, maybe fear, confusion. It's not by accident that Paul says it's the gospel of what? The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to look at this word preparation. If I were to choose a most important word in this verse, it would be the word preparation. A soldier needs to be prepared. We were prepared. We were given those combat boots and we wore them for the rest of our military service. Granted, I had to get a new pair before the 4 years were over, but they were important, and we had to take good care of them, and they made us ready to face whatever we had to face, indoors or out. Those boots were important. The preparation is important. Preparation is something that takes time. Preparation speaks of, don't miss this, preparation speaks of readiness. Are we ready for battle? Are we ready to face the devil? Are we ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us? We're going to be talking about those things. Readiness. Paul uses the same word, preparation. He uses the same word translated ready in Titus 3:1. He's exhorting the believers to be ready for every good work or deed, every good work. Paul tells us in Galatians 5 that we need to be sowing the seed. We need to be doing works of righteousness. We need to be doing good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Preparation. We need to be prepared to work, prepared to fight, prepared to stand. And preparation begins with our attitude and our actions concerning the Word of God. Our attitude needs to be, I can't get enough of the Word of God. It is my meat. It is my sustenance. Don talked about this in Sunday school. It is what I need to take in to me, into my life, into my thinking, my heart, my mind, day and night. Study, study, study to show yourself approved unto God. Meditate in the Word of God day and night and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Meditate in God's Word day and night. God told Joshua so that you will know how to do what is written therein. Preparation, readiness. Are we ready for spiritual warfare? If we neglect to study God's Word, we're not going to be ready to face the devil tomorrow morning. If we sit here in church and daydream every Sunday morning and get little out of the message, we're not going to be ready to face spiritual warfare on Monday morning. Readiness, preparation, preparation. Preparation goes on every day of our life, all of our life. It never ends. Just like you get a good pair of boots, as long as those boots last, you're going to be taking care of them. You're going to be doing things to make sure that they last, that they're in good shape. So a good pair of boots allows the soldier to be ready. Ready to march, ready to climb, ready to fight, ready to do whatever is necessary. Christ demands the same readiness of you and I. The same readiness of His people. Paul quoted the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 52:7 and Romans 10:15, we read, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful are the feet. Paul talks a lot about the feet throughout his letters. Peter, too. Peter uses that idea of readiness. The word preparation here is the word readiness. And he says in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, people probably aren't going to walk up to you on the street, or your next door neighbor is not going to come over and knock on your door and say, "Hey, tell me why you have this hope of heaven. Tell me why you practice Christianity." But you might have somebody come to you and say, "Why are you so different? What is it that you believe? I see you going to church all the time. What do you learn there at that place? What do you talk about? What do they do there?" We need to be ready, folks. We need to be ready, and we need to be equipped with tact so that we'll know in advance what we're going to say when that opportunity presents itself to witness to someone, to share the gospel with someone, to tell someone about the hope that we can have in Jesus Christ, to explain to someone why Jesus is the only way to heaven. We need to be ready. Ready, ready, ready. A good soldier needs to be ready. As a Christian soldier, we must not only be ready to speak the truth in love, but we also need to be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Paul says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." Well, Jesus not only knew how to answer every man, but He knew how to answer the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. So a Christian must not only be ready to go and evangelize, but he must also be ready to stand and defend himself with the gospel of peace. And thirdly and finally, the Christian's footwear is the gospel. And I explained this already a little bit, but I'd like to emphasize again, what is the gospel? And some of you will come back and say, "Well, the gospel is Jesus came into this world and died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day." Yes, that's true. But the gospel is so much more than that. The gospel is the entrance into the entire Word of God. The gospel is the enlightenment of our minds and the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell in our hearts so that we might be able to discern the truth, so that we might be able to understand all of God's Word, so that we might be able to use God's Word as our defense, so that we might be well grounded and not battered back and forth and tossed back and forth as a man with no faith. That our anchor would hold in the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The gospel makes all that possible. The gospel introduces us to Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the foundation. He is the rock on which we stand. The solid rock on which we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, F-R-A-M-E. I thought about that. What does that mean? I dare not trust the sweetest frame. A frame is what you see around a picture, right? If you can put anything in that frame. You can put anything that the world has to offer. Riches, glory, fame, power, prestige. None of those things will hold me secure in the time of spiritual warfare, but Jesus Christ. He will hold us sure. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, there's something about that name. The name Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. And so, the gospel, referring to the good news, is that believers, through the gospel, are at peace with God. Amen and hallelujah. We are at peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that we preach is the gospel of peace. Again, Romans 10:15 says that. The kingdom of God, Paul says in Romans 14:17, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Psalm chapter 85, verses 9 and 10 are beautiful words. I like the way the psalmist puts righteousness and peace together. Listen to this. He says, salvation is nigh or near them that fear God. Mercy and truth have met together. Mercy and truth, we're saved by mercy through the truth of God's word. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. If nobody's written a spiritual song about that verse, somebody needs to. Those are beautiful words. Let me read that without interruption. Salvation is nigh them that fear Him. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I love that. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel? But remember how Paul described us before we were saved? Ephesians 2:12, we've referred to this verse many times. Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, no hope, no anchor for the soul, no hope. And without God in the world, the unsaved person is helpless. He is ungodly. He is an enemy of God. Romans 5:6 through 10. And although you and I, we were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, Paul declares in Colossians 1:22, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. The gospel of peace is the marvelous truth that in Christ we are now at peace with God. Therefore, when our feet are shod, bound, or covered with the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace, we stand in the confidence of God's love for us. What's the most important? Have you ever been through a trial? I mean a real life-changing trial. You've been through something in your lifetime that if you hadn't had Jesus to hold on to, you may not have made it through. You ever been there? When you are going through the darkest time of your life, what's the one thing that you want to remember? What's the one thing that you want to hold fast to? Amen. God still loves me. And that's why Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ. nothing. The gospel of peace reminds us through the trials, the attacks of Satan, and the subtle devices that God still loves you. He still loves you. And we don't need to fear the enemy. We don't need to run and hide. We don't need to be intimidated by his power and his influence, because even Satan himself is no match for our conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan comes to attack us, our feet are rooted on the solid ground of the gospel of peace. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We who were once enemies of God are now his children. Isn't God going to take care of his children? You bet he is. God offers us his full resources. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Paul asks, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8:31. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and loves us. We have nothing to fear. As strong or as weak as we may be physically or emotionally, the Spirit-filled believer may still have the confidence, as the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In closing, we're familiar with John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace. Did you know that Newton wrote at least 96 other hymns? One of them is titled, Rejoice, Believer, in the Lord. And it goes like this, Rejoice, believer, in the Lord, who makes your cause his own. The hope that's built upon his word shall never be overthrown. Though many foes beset your road and feeble is your arm, your life is hid with Christ in God beyond the reach of harm. Weak as you are, you shall not faint, or fainting shall not die. For Jesus' strength of every saint will aid you from on high. Though unperceived by mortal sense, faith sees him always near. A guide, a glory, sure defense, then what have you to fear? As surely as he overcame and triumphed once for you, so surely you that love his name shall in him triumph too. So Paul exhorts us with these words today, Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Just before the message, we sang Priscilla Owen's song, her hymn, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. What do we need to do that? Good footwear. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Are you ready to share the gospel? Are you ready to let the good news be known? Are you ready to stand on the word of God? Have you prepared your heart and mind for the devil's attacks? Stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus saves. Salvation is a free gift. I thought of this morning. I jotted this down. Salvation is a free gift. Have you received yours today? And I don't mean for that to sound corny in any way. You know, you're always getting these advertisements from stores. You know, stop in and get your free gift. Have you received yours today? Listen, the free gift that Jesus Christ is offering you today is eternal. And it never wears out. It's just as new and wonderful and perfect 10 billion years from now as the day you receive it. Have you received your gift of salvation? Don't leave this place without it. Make sure today is the day of salvation. Make sure today is the day you say, "Dear God, forgive me of my sins and save me. Deliver me from spiritual death. Give me the gift of eternal life, because I know Jesus died on the cross in order to provide that gift for me." Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day, for the joy of our salvation, for the hope that we have in Christ, for that sure anchor of our soul. Thank you for all of that. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that we are in the hand of Jesus Christ, and Jesus' hand is in the hand of God, and no one will ever be able to take us out of your hand. Thank you, dear God, that though the battle is strong, fierce, and vicious, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world, and we have the footwear needed for the battle. You've given it to us. You've provided it for us. But we need to make ourselves ready with it. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to memorize Scripture and hide it in our heart. We need to meditate on your word day and night. We need to be prepared with that gospel, the gospel of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.